Onata has learned that a Japanese-made model engine arrived in France with this printed instruction in the box. Quote, "This model requires no lubrication but oil." Now, before you start commenting, the inscrutable ways of the Orient, stop and think. It may be all just an understandable misconception. Many people think the French lubricate everything with wine. This is Monitor 66, the weekend show with a cast of billions, the whole weekend world, and I'm happy to be included in it. This is Van Johnson, playing the role of your host, and in a cameo role, 2 minutes from now, you'll find actor Stephen Boyd. Thundering Thunderball by the Nero who never fiddled while Rome burned. Pianist Peter Nero. Speaking of Rome, that brings us in a slightly roundabout way to our next monitor guest. If you saw the remake of Ben-Hur, you saw him as the evil Messala. He was also in the unfinished version of Cleopatra that Elizabeth Taylor first made. And his most recent movie is The Oscar. In Chicago, he talked about his career and himself with reporter Jack Eigen.
Stephen Boyd, I had read somewhere that you enjoy bachelorhood. You love bachelorhood. And are you against marriage?
Not in the least. I agree that marriage is a fine institution, and I am here only because of it. And I sincerely hope that the institution may continue and be tremendously successful. And I shall watch with great pride in my eyes from the sideline.
What about most of your friends, Stephen? Are they single, married?
The majority of my friends are married and seem to me to be very, very happy. And I couldn't be prouder for them. And I love their children. I love them. And it's marvelous for them. But for me, I couldn't be happier as I am. If something comes along one of these days that makes me feel that I need to get married, then I shall get married, because the only thing that I'm really interested in is some kind of happiness occasionally.
You know, the gal is usually asked the question, what is her type of a man? You very rarely hear a man being asked that question, but you have appeared opposite such gals as Elizabeth Taylor in pictures, Brigitte Bardot. And do you have a type? Is there a certain type gal that fascinates you, Stephen?
I think the only requirement that is necessary is that it must be a woman.
That's normal, I would say.
I like every type that I have ever worked with, every type that I have ever been with. And they do indeed include young ladies such as Miss Bardo and Gina and Sophia and Elkie, all of the rest of them. And they're very warm and marvelous, but the unfortunate thing is that they're married.
I think that Stephen Boyd, ladies and gentlemen, is probably the only motion picture actor who spent many months working in a motion picture with an actress, and then the picture, his part, was never seen. And this was Cleopatra, in which he spent a great deal of time working with Elizabeth Taylor. What happened there, Stephen?
Peter Finch was playing Caesar, and I was playing Mark Antony, and Elizabeth was, of course, Cleopatra. And we worked for a period of 5 months, not exactly shooting the movie, but doing all kinds of things that are necessary preparatory to getting into the production, like makeup tests, hair tests, wardrobe tests, etc. And nothing was ready for Elizabeth. So finally, Peter Finch started working on the occasional scene that he had on his own or with other people other than Elizabeth. And I started working for a couple of weeks on the scenes that I had without her. And unfortunately then, when everything was set to go, Elizabeth became deathly ill. And we were, in fact, at one point told that she had 1 hour to live. So the production company, 20th Century Fox, decided to cancel the production. And since I had two other commitments and Peter had another commitment, we found ourselves in the middle of another production, being asked to rejoin the cast and being unfortunately unable to do so.
Had you ever seen the scenes that you made in the picture?
No, I hadn't seen them, but I know that I saw, for instance, Peter's work, and I thought that he was brilliant. I never go to see the work that I do in motion pictures.
Why, Stephen?
Because normally, you know, I don't like the idea of looking at the dailies, you know, looking at each day's work as it becomes processed. So that the only way I could possibly see it is when it's all put together. And by that time, 5 or 6 months have normally gone by, and I'm in the middle of another production, and I don't want to, as it were, interrupt my concentration.
Stephen, you are originally from Ireland. Do you get back there at all?
I get back as often as I can. Normally, it works out on an average about twice or three times a year. My parents are still there and the majority of my family.
And where do you actually make your home now?
My home is in California, has been for the last 8 years. And 2 years ago, I became an American citizen. I'm very proud and happy about that.
We've been speaking with Stephen Boyd, noted motion picture actor, and I want to thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jack.
And this is Jack Eigen, NBC Chicago, 4 Monitor.
Well, we leave confirmed Bachelor Boyd and move along with Brooke Benton, who delivers a musical description of the kind of girl who might interest him.
Only a girl like you could make me feel the way you do. A kiss like yours could open the doors to heaven, and I'm in heaven when I'm with you. I'll love you forever, my whole life through. My dream come true. I'll only pray for a girl like you.
While we're on the subject of girls, let's see if you know your currently popular music. What's the name of the girl described in the latest hit by Beatles John Lennon and Paul McCartney? Take a minute to think it over, and we'll play it for you then on the Monitor Beacon. Van Johnson again. And rather than tell you the answer to the question we asked a minute ago, the name of the girl in the latest John Lennon, Paul McCartney song, we're going to have Billy Vaughan's answering service do the honors.
Michelle, my belle, these are words that go together well. My Michelle.
Ever hear of a Sputnik? Spud. S-P-U-D, not T. Spud, as in common garden variety potato. Well, you'll hear about plans by American scientists to orbit Spuds via rocket around the Earth when you listen to Frank Blair on Emphasis this coming Monday. In his segment of this wide-ranging NBC Radio Weekday show, Frank will go into the scientific reasons for this vegetarian voyage, it hopes to accomplish. Frankly Yours with Frank Blair is just one of the many features on Emphasis Mondays through Fridays. The others being provided by the other members of Radio Superior 7, Chet Huntley, Frank McGee, Arlene Francis, Merrill Muller, Barbara Walters, and Bill Cullen. If you haven't already made Emphasis a listening habit, start this Monday. Now on monitor, Tony Bennett.
It's never too late for rainbows to shine, for whispering violins and bubbles in the wine. It's never too late to ring like a bell, to steal away somewhere and catch a carousel. The summer is green, the autumn is gold. So no matter when love comes, it's heaven. Let your heart stay young and strong. Just one note can start a song. So don't worry about how long you've had to wait. It's never too late. It's never too late.
Monitor News Special. Earlier today, this month's president of the Security Council commented on the United Nations' failure to achieve any success at all in trying to end the Vietnam conflict. For a report, here is Pauline Frederick, NBC News at the United Nations.
Not even the United States was surprised today over official acknowledgement the Security Council could do nothing about Vietnam at this stage. The conclusion of the matter came in a letter from Council President Matsui of Japan to the members. In extensive private consultations, he had found such differences as to make public debate unwise. To avoid even a meeting, he resorted to the unusual procedure of writing the letter. Matsui said he did find a common feeling on two points. First, grave concern over the war and a strong desire for a peaceful settlement. Second, an end to the conflict should be sought through negotiations to implement the Geneva Accords. A third point was eliminated. It held that a mutual reduction of hostilities would contribute to a favorable climate for negotiations. Several small nations objected to this statement, unless it also called for an end to the bombing of North Vietnam. The procedure itself is expected to arouse objections from the Soviet Union and Bulgaria. The delegates of these two countries refused even to consult with Matsui about Vietnam. France and Mali had reservations about the letter. Before it was issued, however, Ambassador Arthur Goldberg had prepared a statement warmly welcoming the Matsui communication. He said the consultations had demonstrated again the concern of the UN with the maintenance of peace, that he was confident council members were inspired to continue and intensify their efforts for a settlement. President Johnson had been fully briefed on the hazards of referring the matter to the council before he instructed Ambassador Goldberg on January 31st to ask for a meeting. The Soviet Union would probably veto any proposal acceptable to the United States. The USSR would take a hard public position against American policy. Bulgaria and possibly Mali would support the USSR. France could not sanction UN intervention in a problem that was the responsibility of the Geneva Conference participants. Many delegates objected to resumption of the bombing of North Vietnam the day the council was called. Why then did the United States make this move? There are some who believe it was an answer to critics who were saying the UN was not being used. Vietnam is still on the council's agenda, but so are 69 other items, some of them dating back 20 years. This is Pauline Frederick, NBC News at the United Nations.
For in-depth reports and the latest developments on all the important news stories of the weekend, stay tuned to Monitor. Bert Kampfert's Bye Bye Blues is my cue to begin one of the farewell scenes I play every half hour in my role as your monitor host. But it's a cheerful scene, because it's followed by a happy reunion in a few minutes. Meanwhile, remember that Monitor is heard coast to coast on NBC Radio over KCLS, Flagstaff, Arizona, in Grand Canyon country. Van Johnson here, and I'll await your return. Adieu.
This is NBC.